give me one shot here on a blue chip stock, believe me, Kevin, the only problem you're gonna have is that you didn't buy more.
Nobody knows if the stock is gonna go up, down, sideways, or in circles.
What's going on, NBA Draft fans? Your boys are back, the Wolves of Ball Street, your favorite draft analyst, favorite draft analyst. My name is Corey Teleban, and I am here, as always, with my co-host, Albert Garbage Time Gim. Albert, welcome back. Draft season is officially underway.
It is, Corey. It's insane to be back. It feels like we've been gone forever, but here we are. A lot's been going on, obviously, behind the scenes for us in our personal lives, all good and beautiful and wonderful things. But it's insane to be back. And I know for both of us, with this very distinct time in our lives, you know, being parents of newborns,
yes,
it gives us a very unique opportunity to watch a gang of film at night because we're staying up with the baby and stuff like that. And it's something that, you know, Tyler Rucker had last year, and we're like, oh dang, I wonder how much he's actually, and now we're in it and we're experiencing it for ourselves. So it's been great, and really excited to talk about a trillion guys today. So really excited.
Yeah, today's gonna be a fun episode. We are gonna go through our NBA draft stock prospect rankings. These rankings are accumulated from taking the results of all of the mainstream boards that have published big boards and mock drafts at this point to come up with, you know, an initial price offering for the stock for these players. Now, the actual numbers on the stock for what their average stock price is, that'll be released later in the week on NoCeilingsNBA.com. But we do have the rankings, and we're going to go through them today. And Albert and I are going to have a discussion on prospects. So the way it's going to work, because, you know, it can be too hard to talk about 70 different prospects in one podcast episode. So what we're going to do, and is we are going to kind of do draft style, snake draft style, where I'll pick one, or Albert will pick one, then I'll pick two, Albert will pick one. And then we're going to go through each category. I've split the categories up into blue chip prospects, large cap prospects, growth prospects, penny stocks, and unlisted prospects who didn't make the top 60. And we are going to basically invest in one prospect from each group. So blue chip prospects will be $5, large cap will be $4, growth will be $3, penny stocks will be $2, unlisted will be $1. That'll give us $15 to invest in each prospect. And once we invest in a certain prospect, if I invest in a prospect, Albert can't invest in that same prospect for today. So we're going to have two different teams, and we're going to have some fun with the show today.
Corey, we were talking about it right before we started recording. This is a great way for us to come back. We've spent a couple weeks away, and a lot has happened, but for us to come back, and you know, our usual thing is we get like one guy, three guys, right? And we break them down, we go really deep. But today I like this because this is a great way to kind of get us back into the mix of things, a groove of things. And so I'm excited. And Corey, as you and I have been away and we haven't been on the mics, I think we've been doing a lot of thinking on our own and our own evaluations of guys. And I'm really excited to see where we're differing or agreeing on certain prospects. And I think we're going to have a lot of really interesting conversation just from the fact that we haven't talked in a while.
Undoubtedly. Because these are, you know, like already we're getting into some really intense conversations in the No Ceilings group chat. Which, you know, we can transfer over to the Discord. So, you know, if you're not a No Ceilings Plus member, like come hang out in the Discord with all of us so we can have like these in-depth conversations. But let's go through the blue chip prospects. These are prospects that ranked 1 through 5. Again, these are not like No Ceilings rankings. The No Ceilings board is taken into account, which will be released this week on NoCeilingsNBA.com. But these rankings are, again, an average of all of the mainstream big boards. So at number one is Cooper Flagg. Surprise, surprise. Ace Bailey is number 2. Dylan Harper is at 3. VJ Edgecombe at 4. And Nolan Treoir at 5. So, Albert, I'm going to let you invest in a prospect first. So who are you going to invest in here?
I just want to make sure I have these rules right. We have to pick one from every single group, and we can't take 20 guys from the unlisted group, correct?
No, you got to pick one from each group.
Got it. Okay. So this one, if I were to do anything else, the internet would crucify me. So has to be Cooper Flagg. This is a really exciting pick for me and kind of makes me feel like I put myself in a great position for the rest of this draft, getting the number one prospect, Cooper Flagg, out of Duke, originally from Maine, is where he's from. And I'm excited, Corey, like in our preseason ACC preview, one of the things I wrote about Flagg, I was like, hey, New Balance was really smart to invest in Cooper Flagg early because this guy is a freak of a prospect, a guy who is going to not only have a very long, successful career, but who knows where he might end up. You know, maybe this is a Hall of Fame type of prospect. Who knows, right? But in this draft, at this point, if I were to take anybody else, it would be an absolute sin. So I'm taking Cooper Flagg, and I'm feeling fantastic about it.
Yeah, great pick. The New Balance thing's interesting. I feel like they're getting themselves a real roster. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the shoes they're coming out with, and even the clothes, like the light, yeah. You know, obviously their lifestyle stuff has been on point for a while, but their basketball division, which is, you know, really developing, I feel like they've really, really been on point with the direction of their stuff. And having Cooper, obviously they have Kawhi, and then they have, you know, more like mid-tier stars like Tyrese Maxey, Zach LaVine, but getting Cooper Flagg to lead, you know, this division coming up as, you know, one of the probably most popular young players that we've had, you know, not in a while, because obviously we had a guy like Victor Wembanyama and everybody knew him, but like, you know, at least, you know, the American born side, like,
right.
Pretty big get for a brand like New Balance. And Cooper, you know, I mean, I've seen him a number of times already. We saw him at the Hoop Summit. I've seen him play a number of times at Montverde, the Jordan Brand Classic. Like, he's legit, man. Like, he's really, really, really good on both ends of the court. He's looked really good in Duke's first couple of games. And I'm glad that we got a couple of games under our belt to actually, like, talk about these guys. But he seems like he's the kind of guy that's going to live up to the hype because, you know, like, even if he's not putting 25 points a night on the board, like, he does so many other things that really make him so interesting as a prospect.
Yeah. And Corey, like you said, on nights where maybe he's not putting up 25, maybe he is by maybe grabbing 25 rebounds or 25 stocks. Who knows? Like, his influence on the game is incredible. And I think the roster that they've put together there at Duke is going to be really interesting to watch. It's going to be really fun to see them grow. You know, guys like Con Canepo, who definitely is going to get taken in this draft amongst the two of us, right? He's really been playing well next to Cooper Flagg. And they have, you know, other guys like Darren Harris, who we haven't seen a lot of, but I think we will continue to see more of throughout
the season. 100%, I believe.
Mm-hmm. That's good, right?
It's pretty good.
Doesn't get any higher than that, right? And Malawak and all these guys, and they have their returners. So watching Cooper, you know, really continue to spread his wings and show his dominance on both ends of the floor, and just, you know, the intensity and the focus and the drive that he's got. And it's going to be really incredible to see how far he can carry this Duke team too, because maybe this is a Anthony Davis Kentucky type of year. Right, where it takes them all the way to the title and they win one. It's possible. They've got a loaded roster and he's that influential. So it's going to be really interesting to watch. But once again, he's, in my mind, he has to be the choice here. And yeah, he's been great so far.
All right. I'm going to, I struggled with this choice, but I think trying to think a little more strategically about how I might, you know, build and invest in my roster here. I think that the versatility that Ace Bailey gives me right now, and I know, like, he's the number two guy in these draft rankings right now. So obviously I'm not going out on a limb here by taking Ace Bailey with my $5 investment. But I love Ace's game, you know, and there are holes and he has flaws. Obviously the handle needs to get tighter. I think some of the decision-making as a passer, you know, he needs to continue to grow in that way. Even though I like some of the flashes that he's made, he's a little more reactionary than, you know, kind of manipulative in that way as a passer. But as a scorer, like, and as a shooter, kid's the real deal. And, you know, we can talk about and break down how he doesn't get to the rim enough. And, you know, he settles for outside shots. And, like, you know, him settling for an outside shot is different than, like, VJ Edgecombe settling for an outside shot, because, you know, VJ's 6'3", 6'4", and, you know, Ace is 6'9", 6'10", and like he can just rise up and shoot over somebody taking one dribble and it's a clean look, you know, versus contested because he's got such that legit height. And, you know, I think a lot of the dialogue around him this season is going to be similar to that of like Brandon Miller, who also was he struggled at the rim, where I don't know if Ace is going to struggle finishing at the rim. I think it's more of like how often does he get there. But I think that narrative will be somewhat similar. But he's just such a gifted shot maker. And, you know, like even in that St. John's game, like he got stuck at the elbow going to his right at one point, and he just like it was so awkward, and he still was able to just rise up and knock the shot down. So I love Dylan. You know, right now, obviously these boards are early. I'm not married to any of my ideas. Dylan came into the year as number two prospect. Yeah. And, you know, I think he's been playing well in the games that he's played in, because Ace has been hurt and he's missed the last couple of games. But I think the versatility that Ace gives me in it from a lineup construction point is why I'm going to invest my first $5 investment in him.
Yeah. Yeah. And Corey, it's funny. Cooper and Ace are different types of players, but I think our rationale is kind of similar. Like they're both such dynamic players with versatility in different ways that they, I mean, depending on how the rest of our rosters go, they're gonna, you know, cover up a lot of holes in a lot of different ways, right? Cooper with, you know, his influence defensively, offensively, you know, his ability to do stuff with the ball in his hands without. Ace, you know, same thing. Offensively, he can do so much that he becomes this like multi-purpose guy, right? Who can get you a bucket, but also can fit in. And man, like Corey, it's, and this is going to be a theme for me as we talk about some of these top guys, is like, he was so impressive to watch when we're at the Hoop Summit. And I thought, you know, his buy-in, his communication, his coachability, the talking, the energy, all that stuff was excellent all week long. And then that just got me so excited because the raw talent is there. And then he's got the personality too. So it's like, how can it feels like, how can he fail? You know, that type of situation. So I'm right there with you. This is a great choice. But unfortunately, it does leave a good set of guys that we won't be able to draft in Dylan Harper, BJ Edgecombe, and Nolan Traore, who are excellent players, but we're not going to be able to take them.
No, because we can only take one guy from this group. And, you know, with Ace and his communication, that was something that I saw carry over when I went to see Rutgers practice over the summer, you know, and this is a kid who's a freshman with, you know, a bunch of upperclassmen. He's still taking the lead and being really vocal in practice. And I thought that was a really positive sign. And, you know, as his body fills out and, you know, I think he's going to continue to develop that handle. Cause I don't think it's necessarily that his handle is super loose. It's that I think sometimes he plays upright and, you know, it can get away from him, but when he gets really low to the ground, I think he's got pretty good control of the ball. But yeah, he's an immense talent. And, you know, I'm really intrigued to continue to watch him grow as a player this year. He's, I think he'll be back in a couple of weeks. So, you know, when he's back, it's going to be fun to watch.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
For sure. So let's move on to this next group, which are our large cap prospects. And this group, starting at 6, is Con Knipl, 7, Kamon Malawak, 8, Trey Donson, 9, Hugo Gonzalez, 10, Colin Murray-Boyles, 11, Liam McNeely, 12, Yegor Demin, 13, Drake Powell, and 14, Asa Newell. So I am going to go here in snake order to take my $4 investment. And Albert, I am going to go with Yegor Demin here.
Okay.
Yeah, that is going to be my $4 guy is Yegor, who I'm having some dirty thoughts about.
Corey, before you get into your dirty thoughts, we talked about this before the pod, but I want to get into this conversation because this is something that I needed to really look introspectively and wonder with myself where I'm at as an evaluator, just because so it's crazy that in our group chat yesterday, we started having that conversation about Yegor Demin versus Nolan Traore. And this is crazy because I was having a very similar conversation with Maxwell in the morning and then Nathan later on as well, all of No Ceilings NBA. But I was telling them, I'm really struggling between these two guys. I love Yegor Demin. We did our preseason pod on him. We raved about him. He's been even better than we could have expected. Nolan Traore has struggled. He hasn't had the best start to his season. He continues to show an inefficiency with the shooting. He continues to have his struggles on the defensive end of the ball, defensive side of the ball. Where I'm struggling, Corey, and this is like a realization that I had to come to for myself, was I had such a high view of Nolan Traore because of my experience at the Nike Hoop Summit. And I loved watching him in person. The reviews that I heard from Coach Marshall Cho, right? Him saying that he's one of the most intelligent players, young players he's ever been around, right? Hearing from Vijay Edgecombe in the post-game press conference where he was like, yeah, Nolan Traore is the best point guard I've ever played with, right? So keeping that in mind, plus what we saw, you know, during shooting drills, during scrimmages, during the actual game, I walked away from the Nike Hoop Summit just absolutely in love with Nolan Traore. And I think for me, what I had to kind of catch myself doing yesterday was maybe my view of Traore was skewed too heavily by my experience at the Hoop Summit, right? And I wasn't really taking into consideration the reality of how he played last season, how he's playing to start now, and how there are real holes to his game that I have to kind of rectify in my mind. And so I wanted to kind of share this with you, Corey, because I wanted to hear your thoughts on, obviously neither one of us are going to take Traore because, you know, we're past that now, but as Demin is coming up in this conversation, how is your mind kind of processing these two prospects? Because they're different prospects, but they also have some similarities as well. And so just kind of, and obviously there are a lot of, you know, discourse on the internet right now of, you know, a lot of people moving Demin above Traore, and I'm sure you have as well. And so wanted to kind of get your feedback on how you got there, not because I want to argue it, but just I'm kind of checking myself as well right now.
No, I think that it's important that you ask that kind of question, because a lot of times in the draft space, you know, it kind of feel like flavor of the month or flavor of the week, right? Where people, you know, can really catapult a specific prospect really high up their board just because, you know, they have a good couple of game stretch. And this is a really dangerous time for that, because, you know, in a lot of these games, the teams, the college games, these guys aren't playing high level, you know, competition necessarily, right? Like these are warm-up games to get guys in rhythm and work stuff out, and you know, it helps out the smaller programs, but and it helps showcase maybe some of the top guys, and it helps, you know, get you some wins so you can get rolling. So, you know, we have to watch ourselves in these situations, right? You know, like not every team is scheduling a game like Gonzaga versus Baylor or Texas versus Ohio State, right? Like some of these guys are just beaters. And so, you know, I feel like you do have to be a little cognizant of that with Yegor. But for me, I caught myself watching the stuff he was doing on the floor. And I said, this, I don't think the competition has anything to do with this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the way that he's setting guys up. It's the footwork that he's displaying, which he was showing overseas too. Like, there was this mid-range shot that he got into in one of the, I think, Adidas Next Gen games. Mm-hmm. That he got to the elbow, like stop, spun, and like pacing of it all was like, wow, like that special stuff. I hope this translates. And then to see this translate in the college game, and you know, BYU is playing a very up and down NBA style, which is obviously helpful. They have really good screeners, like they have athletes. I don't think the level of competition is really going to change that much. Like, this dude is 6'8", 6'9". Like, okay, so teams are going to start doubling him, sending two to the ball, and he's just going to tear that up because he's such a gifted passer. But it's not even just the passing. It's the way that he's operating with ball screens. And he's never hurried. He's patiently using angles, and he's coming tight off the screen. And then he's playing out of hesitations. And everything that he's doing is so nuanced. And legitimately, I kept going, I can't remember the last prospect that made me think that they had handle on how to run a ball screen since Luka. I'm not trying to compare him to Luka, but like Cade didn't have this level of nuance. Like, Cade's a good passer who struggled with some decision making, which is where his turnovers have always come from. And obviously he hasn't been in an ideal situation like since high school. But and LaMelo had a lot of the Yegor, like all the little crafty tricks and stuff. But like, LaMelo is also like very erratic with his shot selection and like his play and his decisions sometimes. Like, Yegor has shown, and it's only a couple of games, I get it. Like, in those two games, this is an elite ball screen operator passer. We'll see if the shot continues to drop. You know, guys are going under, he's making them pay. You know, he's taken a couple of more difficult threes, like stopping on a dime in transition. But for me, like, he's 6'8", 6'9", and he has this elite skill. And I think like his shot, it looks good enough. I feel like it looks a little better than it did when we broke down his game, where like sometimes you'd be like, it's like a little hitch. And I feel like it looks a little better. He's clearly been working on it.
Yep.
He's confident. I think his bounces look good. I think his first step has looked good. You know, with Nolan, who's also, I think, a really good prospect still, but like, you know, he's 6'3", 6'4". Yeah. And he's super fast and super bursty, and he can get to the rim. And I think, you know, when his shot is dropping, he's like really hard to stop, and he's playing professionally. So like, we have to take that level of account into, you know, our evaluation. But man, Yegor, it's like, this dude might be a top three pick. And we when we broke him down, we were like, he's either going to be a top five pick, or like, he's going to be like a, you know, back end of the first round guy. Like, yeah. And to me, he's looking much more like, is he going to be the guy that people start asking, like, should he go ahead of Cooper? Like, is he going to bypass the Rutgers guys? You know, because he's the type of guy that I think gets guys paid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is going to get Richie Saunders on the draft radar. You know, like a guy who, you know, shows up in Bart queries or whatever, but like, now people are going to know his name.
Mm-hmm.
Because Yegor is going to get this dude easy, efficient looks. He is going to get everybody on that roster points in a really efficient, easy way. He's going to create just everything, and it looks effortless. Where sometimes with Nolan, it looks like he's got to like really put effort into creating it, and it works, and he's a good prospect. But I just don't think the upside is necessarily there with him, because it's literally just a sizing, like. You know, because I don't think he's like a freak athlete in the same way that like, you know, Ja Morant or Derrick Rose or Russell Westbrook were. Like, he's obviously got a crazy first step. He has a little bit of bounce, but it's not the same thing. And it's like, you know, we've seen a guy like Scoot struggle.
Yeah.
And I feel like their skill sets are pretty similar, you know? So I think Yegor is just, he's unbelievably impressive, and I think he's going to make a lot of basketball players a lot of money. It's going to be like the Jason Kidd, Steve Nash effect for him. I think he has that kind of level of special as a playmaker.
And it's extra interesting, Corey, just because of the fact that it's very modern day version of Jason Kidd, right? Because he's 6'7", right? He's big. He's a big old dude. And I think 6'7", 6'8", right? So I think ultimately where I landed, Corey, is exactly what you said at the end. Like, as much as I wanted to hold on, which is another thing that, like, Jeremy Wu has always said to me, like, don't be so stuck on one thing because you want to be right.
Mm.
And that's something where I was like, yeah, like, this is where I'm at in this discussion and in this, like, evaluation process. Like, I can't just hitch my wagon to Nolan and be like, oh no, it's Nolan over everybody. Like, that's stupid, right? And we've seen other draft evaluators who, you know, sometimes go too far, just trying to prove to themselves that they were right about a player's evaluation and then, you know, going above and beyond and saying a little bit too much. And so that's kind of where I'm landing, where, yeah, like, the experience of Nolan in person was great. The feedback that I heard around Nolan was fantastic. But I, as an evaluator, can't ignore what I'm seeing for Yegor right now. Everything that you said, yes, all of that. Like, he's been phenomenal. Yes, it's super early. Yes, we have to continue to monitor this throughout the season, all that stuff. And yet, at the same time, and like, actually, I was telling, you know, I was having a conversation this morning, and I was like, yeah, like, I'm not ready to give up on Nolan completely yet. And then somebody was like, yeah, it's November. Don't give up on anybody yet. You know? And I was like, yeah.
And look, to be fair, but, like, yes. ESPN released their mock draft today, and Nolan... Yeah. Was ahead of Yegor in the mock, because, you know, there isn't enough of a sample to make a definitive statement on, like, Yegor as, like, you know, this high level prospect. Like, I'm gushing and going about him. You know, we'll see when it gets into these tougher matchups how he's going to hold up defensively, and you know, what's going to happen when guys get physical with him and they do start sending two to the ball. And I'm pretty confident in all of that translating, but there's, you know, we have to watch it. Maybe he sucks. And, like, you know, I look stupid and somebody clips us, which is fine. But I think with, you know, Nolan, I think because he got so much hype coming out of Hoop Summit and,
yeah.
You know, like, Basketball Without Borders, he killed. And, you know, I thought he was good in the FIBA play this year, but, you know, some people maybe felt, you know, a little differently. Like, he wasn't great, I guess. And so it's almost like people are bored of talking about him, because if you're a draft sicko, we've been talking about him for a minute and we want new discussions and new dialogue, and that might be part of it. But ultimately, like, I think that, you know, he does have a ceiling that is a little bit more capped than a guy like Yegor, just because of the stark difference in, like, frame and height, you know. And I just think that fits with where the NBA is headed. But they're both good prospects, and I got to take Yegor here with the large cap. So Yegor is off the board. Where are you going now with your $4 investment?
I had a lot of trouble, because, I mean, I knew you were going to take Yegor. So for me, I was already preparing for what do I do after. I really struggled. Part of me was like, hey, let's keep the Con Cooper connection going, the Duke connection going. But I was like, man, a part of me, as much as I want to do that, I was like, let's go back to Monford and let's go to Liam McNeely.
Oh, I love it.
They've played together. They know each other well. Liam is just, you know, gonna love playing off of Cooper, and also will be able to relieve some of the stress of, you know, Cooper being that number one top dog. And I think with Liam, we are just scratching the surface with his ability as an offensive player, but his absolute baseline is lights out sniper from outside. Pretty damn good. So I would like to add that type of shooter. Also, he's gigantic as well.
Yeah, so. I think that's a big point that people haven't caught up with yet. This is not a 6'5 shooting guard.
It's not Jordan Hawkins.
No, who's had a great season, right? Liam's like a legit 6'7", 6'8".
Yeah.
And he's shown that by starting his college career with back-to-back double-doubles, which is, I think, the first time that's happened for a freshman at UConn since, like, the 70s or something crazy like that. So you're getting a guy who is, like, legit wing size. I think people are going to say that he's not a good defender and, like, I think that this dude is going to have no problem being at bare minimum like an average defender. And I even think that, like, given his size and his toughness and his physicality, like, he'll be, and his feel on that end, like, I think he'll be fine. He finishes, you know, possessions by grabbing rebounds. And then offensively, like, yeah, he's a guy that isn't maybe going to cook and go ISO ball, but, like, this is a dude who is more than happy attacking a closeout using his gravity. He's a good passer, which I don't think we've seen a ton of yet. Like, when he gets in the lane, he's going to make the right read. And here's my thing. Like, I'm super high on Liam. I have him in my top five right now. I think it might be a slow descent, but he's going to ultimately make his way into that discussion, because guys who are going to shoot near 40% on that volume, I think efficiency is going to be really strong because of the offense that UConn runs, of the, you know, ways that they're going to get him buckets.
Right.
And I think that UConn is going to have a extended run through March. And, like, I just think that conversation is going to happen. I think that's the direction it's going to trend, even if it's a slow burn. But that's a great pick. I mean, the dude rocks, man.
He does, Corey. He does. He really rocks. And once again, like, I just love the chemistry aspect of it, them having played together. And yeah, like, I just like my size, even though I don't have a center yet. Like, play McNeely at the three, Cooper at the four, and I'm feeling fantastic, right? Just, yeah. I love the overall size that I have already. And then, obviously, the offensive ability of these two guys, plus Cooper's just overwhelming defense. I feel like I have a strong foundation. And honestly, Corey, I made, you know, McNeely was a big part of my thinking for my next pick as well, which I will go ahead and make, because okay, it's my turn again, right? Snake draft wise.
It is your turn. Let's hit the growth stocks. Mm-hmm. Let's run through them first. Sure. We have Jahlil Bethia at 15, Kasper Siakachonis at 16, Noah Asengwe at 17, Rocco Zakarski at 18, Alex Caravan at 19, Boogie Fland at 20, Ben Seraph at 21, Ian Jackson at 22, Kwame Evans at 23, Michael Ruzic at 24, Dink Pate at 25, KJ Lewis at 26, Donnie Freeman at 27, Grievous at 28. I'm not going to be able to get that, which is a shame because I'm letting my Lithuanian brethren down. 29, Darian Reed, and 30, Hunter Salas. So, okay. Where is the direction you're going? Who are you selecting here with your growth stock?
So, Corey, before I make my pick, I have to ask a question.
Okay.
And this is a thing that I need to ask because I'm worried about your next selection. Can I make my choice from the pennies before the growth, or do I have to pick from growth first?
You have to pick from growth first. We got to go in order here.
Damn it. Because I know who you're going to pick in the pennies. Because damn it. Okay. No, you know what? It's fine. Because if I had my way, I would have built the most masterful roster ever if I made this next pick. And I'm not going to say anything because who knows? Maybe there is a God. Just kidding. Okay. I'm going to go. I want a guy who's going to run my team. A guy who is going to set up McNeely, set up Cooper. He's going to bring the ball up. You know, he's going to make really, like, we talked about Yegor and Traore as these really intellectual, high feel, you know, real passing vision type of guys. I've got another one. And I'm going Kasperus here.
Ooh.
Jonas.
Okay.
My rationale is I've got my alpha in Cooper. I've got my Deadeye sniper in McNeely. They're gigantic, right? And then I get Kasperus, who isn't the largest guard, but also he's not tiny, right? But the thing with him is he is an extremely high-level passer, a guy who's going to run my offense to a T. I'm just going to hand him the keys, and I'm going to feel fantastic about my offense forever. Like, I'm not worried. He's going to be great. And with this specific setup, with a guy like McNeely and his gravity on the floor as a shooter, with Cooper Flagg with his gravity on the floor, Kasperus he's feeling stress-free. He's going to go out there and he's going to make all the fancy passes that he loves to make. And he's going to be able to show off all of his nuance and passing vision and timing and all that stuff. It's going to be fantastic. So I'm really sad I wasn't able to make the pick that I originally wanted here. But Kasperus is a great pick because he's going to do a great job of running my team.
Wow. I'm hurt because I would have loved to make that pick myself. And I thought you were going to go a different direction, just based on our preseason pods. But Kasperis has looked great, man.
Yep, it's been great.
He's been great. His efficiency is off the charts. His assist percentage is out of this world. Mm-hmm. He's making great decisions. He looks strong as hell. Like, he looks like he'd been in the weight room. I mean, that Illinois team is really fun, and he's been tremendous. The shot looks great. This was a great pick. This was a great pick for you. Really was. All right, this is tough. This is a tough one for me. I have a number of directions that I've been thinking to go here with my $3 investment. I have Ace Bailey. I have Yegor Demon. I'm going to, I think at this part of the year, maybe hasn't shown that much, but I watched his game against Ace Bailey in high school, and I'm going to take Darian Reed here, which I'm just going to go with like length and movement and tools. And I think that a guy like Yegor would really help him score in efficient spots. I think he started the first game, I think he came off the bench the second game. So I'm going to be interested to see, how his minutes develop over the course of the season. But he's an interesting prospect that I like. And really, he did some stuff against Ace in the game I watched in high school, where I was like, okay, I see it now. Because I was struggling to see it with him. And then he put it together in that game. And I was like, okay. Like, he was knocking down shots. He made some really slick passes. Defense was really, really great. And he was moving. That's going to be my $3 investment. And he's an interesting prospect, I think, that, might cook later in the year.
I like the roster you're putting together. Reed, Demon, Bailey. Pretty damn good.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad.
Good size.
Good size. Good size. That's the direction of the league here now. And I like your team. I mean, you got Akachonis, Coop, and Liam McNeely. So a lot of size for you as well. And, with Akachonis, you have a guy who could really play one or the two and, really gives you a lot of flexibility, whether in that backcourt going forward. So I think that was a nasty, nasty pick that you got there. You swiped. but them's the breaks. Okay. So let's go to our penny stocks here. And let me read off the penny stocks. We have Alex Tui at 31, JT Toppin at 32, Tyrese Proctor at 33, Dude Diarro at 34, Milan Momcilovic at 35, Carter Bryant at 36, Will Riley at 37, 38, Kenan Catchings at 38, Cam Jones at 39, Jani Broome at 40, Ethan Almanza at 41, Ryan Kalkbrenner at 42, Isaiah Evans at 43, Nick Clifford at 44, Jameer Watkins at 45, Carter Knox at 46, Derek Queen at 47, Jaron Stevenson at 48, Zvonimir Visic at 49, Michael Ejai at 50, Tucker DeVries at 51, Peyton Sanford at 52, Caleb Foster at 53, Dalen Swain at 54, Mackenzie Mbako at 55, Xavier Lee at 56, Elliot Cadeau at 57, Sion James at 58, Kenan Carlisle at 59, and Jackson Robinson at 60. Penny stocks, these are our second round prospects based on the NBA draft stock IPO. So I get this pick, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a tough one for me, actually. This is actually a little tougher than I think you would expect. I think I know who you think I'm going to take. Yes. But I think I'm going to go with Will Riley.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, Corey. I'm shocked. I'm so shocked. I was like making plans around what I thought you were going to do already. Like, I'm set. Like, I already know my following picks, and I'm so shocked. Let's talk about it. Will Riley. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been really impressed by Will Riley in these first two games. One, dude looks huge out there. He looks bigger than when we saw him at the Nike Hoop Summit.
Yeah.
That shot looks absolutely pure, like crazy. Super young, reclass guy.
True.
And I don't even think that we have seen the passing flashes that Will Riley has shown so far. Will Riley reminds me of if, like, the Ball family adopted a basketball son.
From Canada.
Like, Will Riley hoops, like, he grew up watching Chino Hills mixtapes. That's what he looks like. And I think that, you know, the size and the shooting versatility, I've been really intrigued and impressed by Will Riley's game. And I love watching this entire Illinois squad. Like, they're just so much fun this year. That backcourt is awesome with Jakachonis. I think Visage has been good. Like, they're just a lot of fun, and I've been really, really intrigued by Will Riley more so than I expected. I mean, look, he was this summer, he was doing some really, really, really fun things in the EYBL, and I want to see if his, you know, he can consistently you know, shoot the ball at you know, near 40% mark, but it looks effortless. Like, you know, every time it leaves his hands, it feels like it's going to go in, and he's, you know, another like 6'7", 6'8" guy. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued for sure.
Corey, I'm floored right now, because we can go ahead and talk about it now. I was so like, there was not an ounce of doubt in my mind that you were taking Derrick Queen. It was to the point where I wanted to take Derrick Queen around earlier if the rules had allowed, because I was so afraid of you taking him. But I get it. Like, Will Riley, Corey, I was really, like, after seeing him at Hoop Summit, I was very, very, I don't want to say I was out on him, but I was like, damn, like, we need to see this. We need to see more of this, because I thought he had a rough go at Nike Hoop Summit, but
yeah.
The talent was there. The talent was always there. And what he's shown so far at Illinois, pretty intriguing. And like you said, like, was he always that tatted up, like, at Hoop Summit too? But he looks badass with the sleeve. I don't even know if he's old
enough to be that tatted.
But he was great. He's been great, sorry, so far. And so I totally understand why you're going in this direction. It's just, I was not expecting it at all. So
no, and it seems like that's going to give you the Montverde only trinity here.
I'm freaking out right now, Corey. This is, I can't believe it. I'm going to take Derrick Queen here.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing, Corey. I was so convinced that you were going to take Derrick Queen that here, what I was going to do was I was going to take Nick Clifford to play the two for me, because Nick Clifford is having an unbelievable start to the season.
Sure.
I just want to rattle off. He's, you know, averaging 25.5 points per game, 13.5 rebounds per game, and he's 6-for-9 for 3 so far. Pretty damn good, Nick Clifford. Yeah. So I was ready to have Nick Clifford just be my two. And I was like, yo, you know, Kasparis, Derrick Queen, Liam McNeely, Cooper Flagg. It doesn't matter who the hell I put in as my fifth guy. But I'm liking this, because I'm going to play Derrick Queen at the five. So I'm going Montverde front court, Queen, Flagg, McNeely. I have an opening at two, and then I'm going to have Kasparis be my one, run the team. Derrick Queen, I mean, Corey, the offensive versatility, passing feel that I have on this squad is through the freaking roof.
Yeah, man.
Derrick Queen, oh my God, dude. A guy that you told me about, like, way, way early, and you were like, because I remember there was a time where I was like, you know, just coming off of my kid being born, and I was like, Corey, I need like 10 guys that you want me to watch, and one of those guys was Derrick Queen. You were like, dude, watch Derrick Queen. You won't regret it. It'll be the best time of your life. Derrick Queen has been exactly that. He's been phenomenal. He looks really good to start. I'm excited with him to see how he continues to develop throughout the year. His passing from that position, insane. Another big dude.
Some of the passing that he's already shown, like he had a great defensive possession and then like grabbed the board and threw a full court outlet for a layup. Like,
because Corey, I'm just thinking, right? Like, imagine Kasparis and Derrick Queen running ball screens together, the options we have there. And then what if I want to go big, big ball screens, Cooper Flagg, Derrick Queen action I want to do. Give me some DHOs with Derrick Queen and Leah McNeely, some DHOs with Derrick Queen and Kasparis. Like, the types of things that I can do with my offense will lead. I can bring in, dude, bring me any coach. We'll figure it out. It'll be incredible. And let's say I have like an offensive minded coach, like, wow, give me, imagine I have Kenny Atkinson running my team, the things that he'll do, the things that he's shown that he can do with bigs, and look at Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, how they're playing to start the season. I give him Derrick Queen, Cooper Flagg and Leah McNeely. Holy shit. Okay. So I'm going Derrick Queen here.
Yeah. I left the door open for you to take him. When I was going through the list, because I forgot that the penny stock category was like 30 through 60 and like the pool was expanding. And when I ran through Derrick Queen and I forgot he was like ranked in the 50s right now, I was like, oh man,
crazy.
Obviously I love his game. I've been praising him and bigging him up as like a big time guy for a while. Cause every time I saw him at Montverde, I was just like, is he the best player on this team? Like, you know, and obviously he's a little older. Clearly that helps. But the dude is, the dude at 2020 game to start his career. He's awesome. And I think he's going to rise up these rankings. But I also wanted to talk about Will Riley because I, like you, was somebody who was like a little underwhelmed by him, coming out of Hoops on it. And then, you know, really started to watch some of the more film and stuff that we didn't see in person. And I was like, I'm in on this dude. Yeah. So that's why I left the door open for you. But I mean, having that kind of passing fill for your squad is, you know, definitely leaves me a little jealous. So.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Look, we're on our last picks. These are the unlisted guys. These are guys who didn't make the top 60 from the draft rankings. And starting at 61, we have Mark Sears, which, I mean, this guy might be like the National Player of the Year. 61 feels disrespectful. Kobe Johns at 62. Bay and Dongo at 63. Bogdan Markovic, no way I'm ever going to pronounce that right. Jalen Lowe at 65, St. Thomas at 66, Coleman Hawkins at 67, Kobe Brea at 68, Jalen Stewart at 69, and Rashear Fleming at 70. Now, I have this pick, I believe. Or do you have this?
I think I have this.
You have it. Okay, you go.
I really battled with this one, Corey. I thought about Kobe Johnson just because he's had a good start to his time at UCLA, really being productive in the stat sheet. But this is what I'm thinking. I've got insane playmakers on my team.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good defensively. I think Derrick Queen, he's going to continue to develop as a, you know, rim protector. He's gigantic. I've got Cooper Flagg, who can guard anybody on the planet. Liam McNeely, feel good about him. Think he's only going to get better as a defender. I know he's not perfect right now, but I'm not worried about him. And then I have Kasparis. So here's what I'm thinking. I want a guy who has, like, this is my last pick, right? So I want to bring in someone who has an absolute, clear, distinct strength. A guy who's going to come in. I'm going to know exactly what his role is, what he offers my team. And yes, he might have some warts to his game, but he makes my team the most dangerous, terrifying offensive unit possible. I'm going Kobe Brea from Kentucky. My team is crazy. My team is ridiculous. Kobe Brea, 6'7". He's 6'6", 6'7", listed 6'7" by Kentucky. Maybe, you know, a generational shooter. This guy, I was talking to Maxwell about him this morning, actually, and he did some queries and, you know, some research, because I think he's writing about him next week. And he was like, yeah, like the only one with his profile taller than 6'5" in the last X amount of years is Doug McDermott. And nobody else. And then, you know, there are a couple other guys that he mentioned, like Luke Kennard, whatever. And I'm like, you know what? This roster, with his shooting being an absolute outlier, him being an elite, elite, elite outside shooter, he makes my team so dangerous and so difficult to cover, with McNeely and Kobe Brea as these ungodly outside shooters. And then I have my alpha top dog and Cooper, and then Derek Queen and Casper is just saying like, hey, we're just gonna cook, and just we're gonna make anything. Like, literally, it's like we're like giving an Iron Chef like the greatest farm ever, and we're just like, do whatever the hell you want every single night. So I'm going Kobe Brea here. I know he's got his warts, like not much of a passer at all, really struggles defensively, but on my team, who gives a shit? He makes us the most terrifying offensive unit possible.
The dude literally is like a legit 50% three-point shooter. And it's beautiful, man. Like, it's pure. It's like textbook. Like, you know, that man sniped a second time. All right. Look, great pick. Great pick. Kobe Brea is a lot of fun. I don't have a lot of size, but you know what? Ace Bailey has spent his high school career and now his college career, I think, too, playing a lot of tallest guy on the floor. And, you know, offering enough kind of just athletic toolsy rim protection that I'm just going to go completely just offense up and down, not worry about, you know, size and having a true big here. And I'm going to go with Mark Sears, who,
wow,
you know, like, I think he measured at like 5'10", 5'11" at the combine last year. Not a super long wingspan, but is just really compact, you know, a lightning rod on the court, a legitimate shooter and shot maker, and, you know, has a very NBA style offense that he's proven to succeed in. And, you know, I think the fact that he can spot up and play off the ball allows him to play with Yegor in the backcourt. The fact that I have Yegor, who's 6'8" in the backcourt, and then, you know, Will Riley, who's got plus size, you know, Darian Reed is long and can move and is plus size, and all these guys have enough size to make up for Mark Sears. So I'm going to go with Mark Sears here. 60-61. I get the size concerns. I get, you know, he's a little older now, but man, the dude is so good. And, you know, there are just not 60 guys ahead of him in this draft right now. And, you know, I know what the ceiling is, and I know what the size. I've written, I think, multiple small guard articles at this point now, and I know it's an uphill battle, but that dude is a basketball player. He's really good. I think he's going to be able to be a backup on some teams, some NBA teams' team. So Mark Sears, I wanted Kobe Brea. He sniped him. But, you know, it is what it is. That's the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, dude, if anyone was going to take a small guard here, it's you, Corey. You've never been afraid of the small guards. As you mentioned, you've written multiple articles. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Great one. I love that article from a couple of years back. But yeah, it's a great choice, Corey, because I get what you're building here. Mark Sears is a guy who proven pedigree too. He's going to come in and be an adult. He's going to give you some veteran leadership as well. A lot to love, a lot to love. And I think, Corey, both of us were walking away with rosters that we're very, very happy with.
Totally, totally. Let's run down. Your roster is Cooper Flagg, Liam McNeely, Who else did you have? Kasparis Jakachonis, Derek Queen, and Kobe Brea. My team is Ace Bailey, Will Riley, Yegor Demon, Mark Sears, and
Darian Reed.
Yeah. So I think a lot of interesting prospects. I'm jealous of how it played out for you and your team. I don't know if I should have opened the door for you for Derek Queen. I think that gave you the win here. Before we, you know, break out of here, you know, with these guys' draft stock, there's a lot of players that we haven't got an opportunity to talk about. Is there anybody who stood out for you that wasn't, you know, a part of this top 70 group through, you know, the first couple of games of college basketball?
Yes, Corey. I've been waiting. Corey, you know me. I don't like tweeting about guys too much or Xing. Doesn't fall off the tongue.
Yeah, blue sky.
I do it only when I'm like really intrigued.
Yeah.
And I did one about Danny Wolf yesterday because he's weird, man. Like, he's in way better shape than when he was at Yale. He looks fantastic physically. And then I was watching some Michigan film and I'm like, why is he moving like that? Like, dude looks so fluid and agile, and he looks like really coordinated and functional. And I was like, whoa. And he's 7 feet tall. He's doing, like, you know, Olajuwon shakes from the 3-point line and then going all the way down to the rim and just yamming it. Shot what, 34% from three last season on decent volume. Hasn't hit so far for Michigan, but, like, you know, obviously 2 games in. But I'm just like, I get it. Like, rim protection is not his strength, but I think it's really rare to find 7-footers that are that coordinated and can move that fluidly. And then on top of it, like, he can handle the ball.
Yeah.
And then there's like shooting upside with him. So I'm like, okay, cool. Maybe he's not a first rounder, but if I can take a shot on a guy that's that offensively versatile, who's also legitimately 7 feet tall and maybe, I don't know, the second round or something, like, I think I do that every single time. And so he may not be on a lot of people's radars right now, but after the first couple of games, I was like, God damn, like, he looks like he's in great shape. And that is really going to help him this year. And, you know, he's always been like a strong, decent rebounder. I think he was at like 8 rebounds a game last season, something like that. But if this keeps trending in the right way, and I also fully believe, Corey, that, like, if you have a 7-footer, you can teach them rim protection. It's something that, you know, even if he doesn't have all the measurables going for him, like, I think he can become a decent to good rim protector with some good coaching, especially if, I mean, let's say, like, he ends up in the Thibodeau world where, you know, Coach Tibbs is really hard on his centers and he's very demanding, and a lot of them end up better by being coached by him, minus Jericho Sims. I just don't get it. But yeah, I he's been really intriguing for me, and I really wanted to highlight him. And then, you know, his dad immediately followed my account because he was very happy about his son getting some shine.
Yeah, so I went to see Harvard play Yale last year. And before the game, I was, like, talking to some team people. And, you know, they're like, so who are you here to see, whatever. And I was like, you know, obviously I'm here, you know, to see Malik Mack on the Harvard side. I was like, but Danny Wolf's kind of interesting. And he proceeded to just be terrible the whole game. And I was like, cool, perfect. But, like, he's interesting. He's an interesting guy, right? He's got really fun skills. He's high feel dude. And if he's moving better, that's, like, a big part of the question mark, because he just couldn't, I think, move at an appropriate level. But, like, that Yale team was really good last year for a reason. Like, they upset Auburn for a reason. You know, like, Danny Wolf can play. John Paul Kiedis, who just, like, lit Purdue up
last night.
He can hoop. Bez and Bang can hoop. Like, Yale's, they turn out good dudes, and Danny Wolf at Michigan is going to have a real opportunity to, like, you know, show out and get himself on the radar. So I think that's a really interesting guy to highlight. My small guards are on fire. My Todd Pefford stock, my John Mobley Jr. stock, booming right now. Man, look, guys, if you have not watched Houston versus Auburn yet, go to YouTube. If you don't have Synergy or anything like that, go to YouTube, go to the Draftmatic channel and go fire that bad boy up, because my guy Tahad was electric.
He was electric.
Made for that kind of moment. And like, Houston is a real deal team. This is not Tahad lighting up some poor defense, North, East, South, West community college, university. This was Houston. And Tahad was out there getting buckets. He looks even faster on a college court than he did when I, saw him on high school courts. Just absolute like blur in transition, tough shot maker, on, off the ball, the most confident dude ever. And then John Mobley, his first game against Texas, his first shot is literally pulling up with 15 seconds on the clock from the logo. Splash. He's hit 7 of 8 threes in 2 games. He's coming off the bench. Clearly the best guard on that team. The gravity that he provides to an offense is legit. I can't be happier watching those two guys, because they both played real teams so far and they both looked really good. And we got to see Mobley at the Nike Hoop Summit. He scrimmaged it for the Portland Generals, and we were just watching him shoot. We were like, oh my goodness.
I mean, Corey, we stood on the floor with him as he proceeded to hit like 40 threes in a row. So he was just shooting around with Trent Perry, and it felt like Trent Perry was mostly just rebounding for him. Like, it's incredible.
That dude can shoot, man. It's pure. And he could pass and stuff. Like, right now he's not getting to play with the ball in his hands a lot, but he can really pass too. I think he's got to get in better shape. But I think he's got a bulky enough frame that, like, if he can tone his body, like, he can be a real deal impact guy, just because not too many guys could shoot like that. You know, like, we say like guys have logo range or they get deep range or whatever, like, not like him.
Yeah.
Not like him. And he could do it on the ball. He could do it off the ball. He could do it with a hand in his face. He could do it wide open. You know, he's a special shooter. So those guys were really impressive in this opening week for me.
Yeah. Great choices, dude. Great choices. And especially Mobley, Corey. Like, Pettiford, I feel like both of we kind of knew, and we've talked about him before.
Yeah.
We've talked about, Auburn, and we were excited about him. We talked about his, offhand dunking, and really exciting guy. But with Mobley, it's like, we'll see. We shall see. Yeah. Because if this continues and he gets a little bit more, runway to do some stuff with the ball in his hands, he might get really exciting for folks. So,
yeah,
it's fun.
It's fun. I'm excited, man. Guys that made me sad, the Seton Hall guys. I was, they're playing at Hofstra this week, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll try to get out there because it's so local, and because they're playing at the Coliseum, and I was like, I don't need to go see Scotty or Garway any right now after their first two games, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. But I will still hold out hope that they turn it around. But this was fun. I'm glad that we got back in the saddle and did this episode. And, you'll get to see these rankings all on the No Ceilings NBA site on Thursday morning. So head there, subscribe, noceilingsnba.com. Shout out everybody that is watching live on YouTube, on Twitter, on Twitch, all of the stuff. We appreciate you guys rocking with us through the off season and heading into draft season. If you haven't gotten a chance yet, make sure you go and read the No Ceilings preseason NBA draft guide for scouting reports on 60 prospects, 20,000 words, really great stuff. And I'm really excited for this year, man. Tell the people where they can find you on the World Wide Web.
You can find me at Alberto Gim as usual on X. I have to correct that. I always say Twitter, but it's X. It is what it is, yeah. Right? At GTGNBA on Instagram. As always, I'm rocking a bit New York.
Yeah.
Always check them out. They do great stuff. They, style me, so that's awesome. But yeah, and also Corey, before we go, it took a lot for me to do this, but I'm wearing my Yankee hat today after maybe the most embarrassing performance by a Yankee team in my lifetime in the World Series. And then, oh God, there goes that that Mets hat. But you know what? I wanted to be brave, and I wanted to put on a brave face and wear my hat and say that I'm grieving. And you know what would suck even more, Corey? If Juan Soto signs with the Mets. And at that point, I might just quit all sports and just live in a cave. But yeah, that's it.
I started getting back into baseball this year.
Great timing.
Great timing. Baseball. I was like obsessed with baseball growing up. But I found myself having time to watch it a little bit more, and yeah, it's me and Zach Lowe back on the bandwagon. You can find me at Corey Zeliba on Twitter or X, whatever your preferred platform is. I still think Elon Musk calls it Twitter sometimes. So I am styled today by No Ceilings NBA. We got merch, NoCeilingsNBA.com. Click the merch link. And yeah, we'll be back next week talking some hoops. So till the next time, we're out.
Peace.
Peace.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.